when Russell and Shirley Dermond failed to show up to a neighborhood Kentucky Derby party, their neighbors were beginning to grow concerned. It wasn't like Russell and Shirley, who were very active in their upscale gated community, to not only not show up, but to also not call or give an explanation as to why they weren't going to appear. Neighbors were still concerned days later, after several attempts to reach the Dermonds went unanswered. Taking it upon themselves to conduct a welfare check, neighbors of the Dermonds would discover a terribly gruesome sight. In the Dermonds' garage, laying in a dried pool of blood, was the body of 88-year-old Russell. And things would only get worse when investigators realized that not only had Russell been murdered, but his 87-year-old wife, Shirley, was also missing. But who would have wanted to harm Russell and Shirley Dermond, and why? In today's case, we talk about the murders of Russell and Shirley Dermond. Hi, I'm your host, Missy, and I'm about to take you on a wild ride. Stories with plot twists, shocking endings, and unbelievable truths. Trust me when I tell you that this story is nuts. Russell and Shirley Dermond were both from New Jersey, and they married in 1950. The two had four children and eventually nine grandchildren together. Russell was a Navy vet who had served in World War II, and he worked as an executive clock manufacturer until the later 80s. That's when the couple decided to move to Georgia. That was over by Atlanta, Georgia, that Russell would begin to manage several Hardee's restaurants, a job he would do for many years, until eventually retiring in 1994. Russell and Shirley would decide to eventually move to Putnam County, Georgia, to an upscale gated community. And that's where the two decided they could live out the rest of their days in their $1 million dream house, a house on a wooded lot that sat on Lake Oconee. And Russell and Shirley were very active in their gated community. So when on May 3rd, 2014, the two failed to show up for a neighborhood Kentucky Derby watch party, their neighbors started to get a bit concerned. In the days following, the neighbors would call the Dermonds, but they would never get an answer. So on May 6, 2014, 3 days after the watch party occurred, neighbors finally decided to do a welfare check on the Dermonds. Knocks on the Dermond door would go unanswered, and so finding the door to be unlocked, the neighbors would let themselves in. Now, at first, everything in the Dermond home seemed quite normal, and nothing was out of place. Shirley's glasses and her purse were still in the home, and there was an unfinished crossword puzzle that sat on the kitchen table. But it was when the neighbors decided to take a peek inside the garage to see if maybe the Dermond's vehicles were still there that they would find the decapitated body of 88-year-old Russell Dermond. Russell would be lying on his back in a pool of dried blood. He would be surrounded by towels that were from the Dermond home in what investigators believed were an attempt to stop the blood from seeping out and under the garage door. Investigators would determine that Russell was decapitated there in the garage. However, his head was completely missing from the scene. And it wasn't the only thing missing. 87-year-old Shirley Dermond was nowhere to be found either. Immediately, police were worried that Shirley was not only in danger, but that she might have been abducted. Shirley's photo was quickly sent out to news outlets, and cadaver dogs were called to try to locate some sort of scent. The Dermond dock, which was located at the front of the home on Lake Oconee, was also dredged to no avail. Shirley was nowhere to be found. When an autopsy was done on Russell Dermond, the medical examiner quickly noticed that Russell's head was cut clean off of his body. Therefore, the thought was that the suspect or suspects had possibly used a really sharp knife And not only that, it seemed like they might have known what they were doing. Investigators also believed that Russell was beheaded in the garage of the home, and whatever actually happened to him or Shirley was probably done at a separate location due to lack of physical evidence at the German home itself. Now, they did find gunshot residue on the collar of Russell's shirt, and that led investigators to believe that perhaps Russell had actually been shot in the head, and the head was taken from the scene to conceal ballistic evidence. Now, besides being beheaded, Russell had also suffered a very serious injury on his index finger on his right hand. Now, this led investigators to believe that perhaps Russell, who along with Shirley had a net worth of $1.5 million at the time, had possibly been tortured. Now, the theory is that maybe a suspect or suspects in this case went into the Durman home expecting to get money or valuables from the Durmans, but they didn't actually keep that stuff in their home. Therefore, maybe they had tortured Russell. Maybe they were trying to extort the Durmans for their valuables. And when they found out that there was nothing there, they killed them. When it came to the home itself, there was no physical evidence, no DNA, no fingerprints, no footprints, none of those things, as well as no sign of forced entry and no sign of a struggle either. Now, one might assume that the gated community had surveillance cameras because it was a very upscale gated community, and of course it did. But unfortunately, the surveillance cameras in the community had been knocked out by an electrical storm shortly before this crime occurred, and so anyone making their way onto the Durman property wasn't caught on camera. It is assumed, though, that whoever was responsible for this crime had accessed the Durman home by Lake Oconee itself. It is possible that the suspect or suspects had gained access to Russell and Shirley's home by taking their own boat to Russell and Shirley's dock that sat in front of their house. 10 days after the gruesome discovery of Russell Durman, two fishermen would find the bloated body of 87-year-old Shirley Durman in Lake Oconee, 5 miles from her home. Shirley's ankles had been wrapped several times with paracord, and she had been tied to 2 30-pound cinder blocks. The blocks had been painted red and were meant to hold her body down in hopes that she would never be found. This was a move that investigators believed was performed by that of an amateur. According to detectives, a professional would have known that gases in a decomposing body would have brought the body to the surface despite the cinder blocks. An autopsy of Shirley's body showed that she had been killed due to blunt force trauma, being struck at least 2 to 3 times by possibly a claw hammer. It was evident that she'd been placed in the water sometime after her death by someone investigators believe knew the area very well, since she was purposely placed in the deepest part of the lake. There would be hundreds of leads in this case, including one in 2015, in which a neighbor admitted that they had seen a man wandering around the Durman's lawn shortly before they were found murdered. But the neighbor could not identify the man, and it was possible that the person wandering around the lawn could have been Russell himself. Now, in a very strange and unfortunate twist, Russell and Shirley's oldest son, Mark, was actually murdered in the year 2000 after a drug deal went bad. Now, this was 14 years before the murders of Russell and Shirley, and investigators did have to look into that, of course, but they really didn't think that that had anything to do with Russell and Shirley's murders. The three surviving German children were given polygraphs and questioned in the murder of their parents. However, they passed all of their polygraphs and were eventually cleared of any involvement in the murders of Russell and Shirley. As of 2015, the murders of Russell and Shirley Durman have gone cold, and Putnam County Sheriff Howard Sills says this was the most frustrating case of his career. According to Sills, he believes that multiple people were involved in this murder, and as recently as May 2022, he was still investigating some cell phone data in this case, and he hopes that eventually this new data can bring the Durman's killer to justice. If you have any information on who killed Russell and Shirley Durman, please contact the Putnam County Sheriff's Department at 1 706 485-8557. As always, I'm curious what you think happened. And if you want to discuss this case or any other case, please join our Facebook group if you haven't yet. It's facebook.com/thisstoryisnutspodcast. And if you have a story suggestion, send me an email at thisstoryisnuts@gmail.com. If you like the show, please make sure that you're rating, reviewing, and sending the links to your friends and family. That really, really helps me out. And I always want to thank you for stopping in and listening. I try to release an episode every single Wednesday. So come back next Wednesday for hopefully an all new episode of This Story Is Nuts. And until then, stay nutty, my friends. This Story's Nuts was written and produced by Missy Reese, with music by Logan Reese off of Groovepad.